games. Like, the camera angle was, like, the worst thing in those games, but the games were amazing. Just the whole concept that they were able to bring in Oswald into, like, the Disney universe, and the way that Disney got him back from Universal was one of those, like, crazy things that you're like, whoa, Disney actually did that? And, like, the history of how Disney was able to get him back is even crazier, because no way, like, nothing in time do you ever hear of a fictional character being traded for a real person.
Right.
So it's like, they traded a fictional character for a real person? That's kind of weird, but it's really awesome, like, how they were able to get it all done and taken care of.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah, no. Okay, so the little bit of the history of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, he originated in the 1920s between Ubi Works, Walt Disney, under the Walt Verlaine Studio in Universal, and he was one of the first characters, big characters, that Walt Disney and Ubi Works created together. And just for people to know, Ubi Works is the co-creator of Mickey Mouse, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, Minnie Mouse, Pete, and things like that. So he has a really cool history. There's actually a drunken history about it in Comedy Central. You can watch it on Hulu, like, the clip, and it goes over the history of, like, Ubi Works, the creation of Mickey Mouse, and things like that. So it's a really interesting stuff, like, outside the fact, if you guys want to check that out later. But so they created him, and when Walt Disney and Ubi Works were like, hey, we're going to leave, we're taking Oswald with us, Walter Lance like, no, we own his rights. He is our character. You guys don't own him. And Walt Disney and Ubi Works were like, what? No, this isn't cool. So afterwards, they took a little bit of a break, and because the loss of Oswald to Walt and Up were so huge and monumental that they were scared to get back into animation just because of how crazy it was. But they finally, Walt convinced Up, you know what, we need to take the risk. Let's try it again. And they got Mickey Mouse. And we all know the history of Mickey Mouse, how big he was. He just had his 90th anniversary. But in the background, Oswald was a popular character, but because they didn't know how to write his beats, how to, like, right, the rabbit itself, they started producing shorts that were just so horrible, and they redid his style and animation, like how he looks, and finally Universal, like, you know what, we don't care for him anymore. So fast forward a whole lot of years later, Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, made a promise to Walt's daughter or granddaughter, I am going to try to get Oswald back any way possible. That is my number one goal as CEO. I will get Oswald back into Disney, into the Disney family. So at the time, Monday Night Football was on, or Sunday Night, yeah, Monday Night Football was on ABC and things, and Al Michaels was doing it, and he goes, you know, I don't want to do Monday Night Football anymore. I want to do Sunday Night Football, so I want to go over to NBC Universal. So, like, well, you know, you're on a contract. We'll see what we could do. So Igor and whoever at Universal, they started talking. Igor goes, we will trade you Al Michaels for Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. CEO of Universal is like, we have no idea who the hell that is. We haven't produced a short in forever. You got him back. He's now your character. Give us Al Michaels. So that's how Disney was able to get back Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. They traded Al Michaels for a fictional character. And it made the news, and Al Michaels loves it. He laughs about it nowadays. You ask him about it, he's like, yeah, I was traded for a fictional character. It was crazy. Yeah, so it was just one of those crazy things that he was able to, like, trade him for a fictional character. I was like, whoa, that's awesome. And when he came back playing Epic Mickey, because Warren Spector really, really wanted him in there, like, he was like, we need Oswald in this game. And they got him in there, and it was great. And being a huge Disney fan and just seeing him back into Disney, because I saw the shorts when I was little, I was always like, who's that weird rabbit guy? I didn't really know who it was. So when Warren Spector decided to like make the game and bring him back in, I started learning his history. I was like, whoa, that's a really cool character. I really wish I knew more about it. I really wish there was more of his stuff here at Disney World, because being in Orlando, that's what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And the seeing more of his stuff, more of his presence in the Disney parks is really fun and really great. And the history behind them, because not only was it... I'll get to why it's really, like, one of my favorite characters, but, like, the history behind him, like, how he shaped Walt Disney, Ub Iwerks, and all that, to what it is now, where Disney's biggest fear is never is losing his property or losing his characters, losing his IP, and how all the CEOs have that mentality. Like the one before Bob Iger, or Michael, whatever his name is, I can't remember.
Eisner.
His name. There it is, Eisner, who destroyed the animation studios. His biggest fear was when Disney almost got bought out by Verizon. Was it Verizon? Verizon. Like, that was one of his biggest fears. Mm-hmm. And he never wanted that to happen. And they just wanted to grow big. And, like, I know everyone's like, oh, Disney's the overlord. They're going to overtake everything. They're going to just buy Sony to get Spider-Man. But that was one of their biggest fears, because they almost got bought out. And that was Walt's, after learning the lessons with Oswald, that was his biggest fear. But, yeah, right. So that's some of the crazy history of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Yeah, it's so nuts to think that there would not be a Mickey Mouse without Oswald and without that story that you just said. But hey, everybody, welcome to the newest episode of Character Progression. I'm your host, Dan Brown. With me is my guest, Brian. What's up, Brian?
Hey, not much, man. Thank you for having me on here.
Yeah, of course. So since we already got into some of his backstory, do you remember how you first really discovered, like, what led you to start researching and find out the whole backstory behind Oswald?
Well, I remember watching some of the shorts, like, back in the day. It was easier to watch, like, a lot of these cartoons, because they were always had, like, the VHS tapes. They always had something always out there for kids to be entertained. So I remember watching the shorts probably on VHS or 2 o'clock in the morning on one of the late night channels, just because that's what they used a lot for filler. And just going, oh, wow, that's a really cool rabbit. And just going, wow, that rabbit keeps on changing. And when I was watching Looney Tunes, I always saw Bugs changing. So I was like, okay, well, I guess he just changes because that's what it is. And it was just interesting just seeing that character, not knowing who he was as a little kid, but just that's pretty cool. And then nowadays, it's being like, you just go to a theme park, oh, Oswald. Oh, I know, Oswald, do you know about this? And I guess, the interesting history that he had, just being, everything that he went through and how meaningful he really was, and how Disney now isn't putting him everywhere on their merchandising, on all that stuff. It's really nice just having a Disney character that you could walk into Disney World and not see him everywhere. And right. You just see him in little splotches here and there.
Just kind of building off of that, how do you think having this, I guess, personal Disney character, that one that you kind of feel more of that connection with, how do you feel like that's influenced your life?
It really influenced my life in the fact that you always think you're kind of not important, you've done something, but and you're that wasn't really important, and you just don't know how it affects other people in life, because with him, his importance was he shaped Disney and iWorks that they never wanted to lose their characters, and just having that effect on things that you do, you do something good for somebody, you don't know how it affects other people. Because you don't see it after the fact, and just having that kind of emotional connection to, I'm doing good, but I don't realize I'm doing good, and other people benefit from that good. That it's almost like the whole pay it forward type mentality, but you're not doing it on purpose. You're just doing it by happenstance, just by living your better self and just doing things that are more important to you. So, yeah, I know it's kind of weird. It's kind of oh, this is a weird, analogy. I was but it's just it shows how important just being able to be a good person and not realize the effects that it has on other people.
Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense. Just that idea that of the domino effect.
Yeah.
Do something, you hold the door open for somebody, that puts them in a better mood. They're going to be more willing to help someone else out or do something, and you in turn just kind of get a domino effect going that can potentially just make things better for everyone involved.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just one of those, because I know there's a lot of characters that they have really good meaning and they have really good purpose. One of my other characters that we were talking about earlier was Gohan. It's oh, well, but it's just they share the similar trait where they don't know how good they are, like how in, like they're, like with Gohan is how powerful he is that he could overcome stuff, but with Oswald he didn't know how important he is just to the world itself, because being taken away from Disney, it's like out of his control. But you got to see the joys that Disney and Iwerks had creating the character and how important it was to him. And it's kind of, it's a weird, like, morphing to seeing how important it is to other people as well. Because you don't get that on the day-to-day stuff. Because just like how you said, holding the door open for someone, that could be all that they needed to be really good. Just go, you know what, the day was good, somebody acknowledged me, I'm good, I'm gonna have a better outlook on life.
Kind of off topic, but still Disney related, since Disney owns Marvel, and yeah. I mean, that's how we know each other, is as comic book nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever read Exiles, like the original, like early 2000s Exiles series?
Yes. Was that the one with Professor Xavier and Magneto where they team up together?
No, this was like the reality hopping.
Okay, then not.
There's an issue. Like, usually, you know, they would have to fix a flaw in a reality and they would go to just these different alternate universes. And a lot of times it was like bigger things they had to. You know, Wolverine was going to kill the lizard and they had to stop that from happening. Or, you know, somebody was too weak. You know, Spider-Man was too weak and didn't know how to fight. So they had to teach him how to fight so that he could eventually go on to stop, you know, Green Goblin from doing something crazy.
Okay.
And it had the Quantum Leap kind of thing going where they would, as soon as they fixed that thing, they would immediately disappear and go to the next universe.
Okay.
There was an issue where, it's one of my favorite comic issues I've ever read, because they land in this reality, and it's literally just go to this address, there's a pastry shop there, buy a cheese Danish.
Okay.
Like that's it, just buy a cheese Danish. So they go in, and they buy a cheese Danish, and then that causes this domino effect where that's the last cheese. Eventually run out of cheese Danishes, and this guy really wanted one, and then that changes and puts him in a bad mood that ends up causing him to be rude to someone on the bus, which starts a fight, which Spider-Man has to get involved in to break up, which makes him late to, like, getting to, like, school, which meant that he wasn't allowed to take a final, and this huge, very weird, long domino effect, like Rube Goldberg machine of superhero things happens that ends up leading to the planet getting completely encased in a wall of smoke and an invading alien armada not being able to see the planet and canceling the invasion.
Oh, damn. That's pretty crazy awesome.
Yeah.
I definitely gotta read that one now.
But it just kind of had that same thing in mind of just this whole idea of not knowing how anything you do is going to be perceived by other people.
Yeah.
So then trying to help, really kind of making, it's as cliche as it sounds, making the world a better place in more ways than just you held open a door.
Yeah, that's probably a better one, better analogy for it. And I guess because it's really, for me, it's just seeing the character just not as an outcast or the black sheep, but like the historical good that he was for everybody else. Because without him, you just won't get Mickey Mouse. Without Mickey Mouse, you won't get Snow White. Without Snow White, you wouldn't get Dumbo. Without Dumbo, you wouldn't get the Disneyland. Without Disneyland, you wouldn't get Disney World. And just like how it snowballed to where we're at right now, where without Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, you wouldn't have Endgame. You wouldn't have Far From Home. You wouldn't have these movies that they're so important to people's lives, like how these characters affect them. And you, when you go back into the history of it all, you're just going, holy hell, this rabbit that they created if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have Endgame. We wouldn't have Far From Home. We wouldn't have all these stuff that is impactful to people. Because if you talk to somebody, I don't know if this is a spoiler because it happened a year ago, but like with Infinity War, when Spider-Man passes away and like turns into dust, you would never have had that moment unless Alzo was created and showed Disney and Iwerks how important it is to keep control of their properties as much as possible.
Which is why there are all the rumors of them trying to get Spider-Man back.
Yeah. And I guess it's kind of relevant with like the current news that's going on, at least when we're recording this. Just the whole Sony and Spider-Man and Disney and Marvel just bickering back and forth about the rights, who owns the, like, all that stuff that's going on. You're like, this is important. This is huge. And if Sony loses Spider-Man, or if Spider-Man loses the MCU, it's like, man, it's a ripple effect.
Yeah. But all right. So then let's move on to a section called Big G, Little G.
Okay.
The Big G is how could the lessons that you've learned from this whole Oswald the Lucky Rabbit domino effect be good for the world? And then the little G is how have they been good for you in your own life?
For the Big G, just like, I guess with the exiles, just one little action creates another action, creates another action, creates another action. For the good of the world, we've been seeing it now, like with a lot of the stuff. I'm not getting political. So this is just all the stuff that's going on. So just like with on Reddit, just like the trash challenge, the common man, the people that see all the stuff now are taking an interest in the environment, like how important it is to pick up the trash, how the microplastics, the climate change stuff, like how important it is for them to start taking action against it. And it's just, all it took was just one hashtag, just the trash tag challenge or whatever it was. And it just snowballed into people caring about where they walk their dog during the day, the parks. And it built this great following. We're like, hey guys, we need to take care of our environment. We need to take care of the earth. And now there's more coverage of the things that are going on with the world, where the G20 summit is happening soon. That's, everyone's like, hey, we need to talk about climate change. And I guess that's like the Big G for me, because all it took was just one hashtag and it just snowballed into people caring about what happens to the earth.
And if anybody listening really wants that moment to see like people can be good, like just really good, look up that hashtag, because some of the before and after pictures will just like bring a tear to your eye.
Yeah, and it's one of the ones that really impacted me was when it was a group of guys, it was a group of kids, and that's the thing, it's kids, it's young adults, it's teenagers that are really spearheading this. And that's a really great thing for us, since we're older statesmen of stuff. It's just seeing the younger generation caring about these things as well. But anyway, it was a group of people there in India, and they put a picture of the beach. And this beach is one of those beaches where trash is in the water, like trash is coming up on shore. And they go, it took us forever, but we finally did it. And they post the pictures and going, this is a beautiful beach. This is a gorgeous beach. So yeah, I highly recommend like what Dan said. Look up the hashtag and look at those photos. They're amazing.
Okay, and the little G.
You just never know what you do that will help someone. Like one of the things is I work retail. Retail's what I've done. It's just helping that customer out and them just going to you, man, I was having a really shit day and you just made it a whole lot better. And just knowing that I helped somebody out, that they just came up to me like, hey man, thank you. I needed that. Like, oh, thank you for your service. I've had it like in other walks of life, just parking services when I used to write parking tickets for at the university here. One of the things that we do is like AAA type stuff. I changed the tire of a lady, and the lady was so grateful. So, like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. She went up to my supervisors and was like, hey, he's really great. He was really friendly. He was really awesome. And it got around that I was really friendly. I helped her out. But it wasn't just that. It's part of the university started hearing about it because she was part of a thing called, like, the Lifetime Learners. So it was for retirees. And I gained a reputation with them. Like, hey, there's a guy at Parking Services that's super amazing. He's super nice. And it was just them growing that, like, oh, wow, there's actually nice people out there. Like, the meter maids are not all a-holes writing parking tickets. They're actually really nice guys. So it's just, like, little stuff like that because I know when you help somebody out, you don't know what type of day they're having. And in retail, the difference of, like, hey, how are you? How's your day going? Could change it completely. Could change your day completely. So, yeah. So just the little stuff like that. I mean, even at the comic shop, me and you both experienced, like, you have someone walk in like, hey, I don't really read comics. What do you recommend? And you're like, oh, well, why don't you try this book? Like, I know you've had some great stories on that one, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was always one of my favorite things when someone was just like, you know, hey, I saw Black Panther and I loved it. Never read a comic before. What's a good Black Panther story? What to get into the character? And yeah. I got to basically, you know, you get to take something from a movie that somebody enjoyed or a TV show that they like or even just the movie trailer and turn it into a love of something and show people that your favorite stories can come from anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just like, for me, I don't know about you, when it was like the little kid, we're like, I like Spider-Man, and you bring that Spider-Man comic, like, here. And we had like the dollar books that, I know if Aaron listens to this, he'll probably yell at us that I would just give them to little kids and stuff like that because like the look in their face, we're like,
I don't work for him anymore. He can yell at me all he wants.
I'm always getting fired from there, so it's like no big deal for me. But yeah, no, it's like you've experienced like the little kid just like lights up that you gave him his first comic.
Yeah.
So that was always one of my favorite things was just having a kid wear like a Captain America shirt. I'm like, oh my God, you love Captain America? And you just give him a Captain America book and like they light up and you're like, oh, that's what makes it awesome.
Oh yeah. I mean, that happened with me. One of my uncles gave me an X-Men comic. It was like I want to say it was the first issue of Uncanny X-Men after the Dark Phoenix saga ended.
Okay.
But it was, yeah, because it was all about the fact that it was Kitty Pryde's birthday, but they missed celebrating it because they were dealing with all of the craziness with the Dark Phoenix saga.
Yeah.
And so this whole issue is like her thinking that, oh, they forgot my birthday, but it's all right. Like, do I bring it up? Do I not? That's weird. And then the X-Men end up like surprising her like, hey, we know we missed it. So here's a party for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And I remember, like, A, that's the reason why I love the X-Men, why multiple of my tattoos are X-Men related, to the point that my biggest tattoo is a big Kitty Pryde on my leg. It all stemmed from just that. And it was something where, like, I think it was just my uncle had accidentally bought two copies of it, so he's just like, here, you can just have one.
Yeah.
And then that turned into a love of comics that still exists today.
Exactly. And that goes back like to the domino effect, just like that action just created more reactions down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, and that's what I like about Oswald. It's like his existence created domino effects for generations down the road. And even if, like, half the kids that we talked to, that we gave a comic to, kept up with it, we all know that they're going to talk to their friends about it, that that's going to create something that they're going to be them down the road in the future. So, yeah, so that's I guess that's my little G, just, like, those little things that you don't realize are so impactful just on a personal level and how many lives it's changed. And then down the road they tell you, hey, man, I remember when you did this, because it's a fun memory that you have now with your uncle about giving you your first X-Men comic.
And then actually that led to the first comic I ever bought was an X-Men comic.
Yeah. Yeah, mine was one of the, like, the Present comics from, like, the 90s, early 90s, when the X-Men just got their first costumes changed, the green and blue Wolverine, the blue spandex Cyclops, and
oh yeah, stuff. the like Jim Lee era.
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember thinking it had a cool cover, and yeah. In it, like, in the issue, Psylocke tries to seduce Cyclops, and I was way too young to understand what was happening.
That's not Uncanny X-Men, like, 255 or 256, is it?
I don't honestly remember. I know the cover is Colossus and his sister walking away from a house with this giant black monster, like, in the shadows behind them.
Okay. I guess, yeah, that's a different one, because I know there was, like, a very similar story with, like, Psylocke and the X-Men's in, like, a danger room, and that was one of, like, my first X-Men comics I ever bought. I was like, oh, wow, look, it's the X-Men. I remember the animated cartoon series. I'm going to buy the comic.
Mm-hmm. Although, fun side story, someone you and I both know that some of the listeners might also, but Mike Bandel, that was the issue that I first bought was also the same first comic he ever bought.
Oh shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, just completely random thing where he and I were talking about, like, first comics one day, and we both remembered the same story beats, so we looked it up and it was just randomly the same thing.
Oh wow, dude.
I don't remember where he got it, but I think I got mine at, like, an Eckerd's back when that was a thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's where I got mine as well, was Eckerd's, was from the comic rack.
Nice.
Oh man, I missed a blue setting. Like, when they became CVS, like, I shed a little tear. I was sad.
Yeah, the receipts are so much longer now. It's so frustrating.
Dude, there's a guy, he prints out a receipt and it's like his body length, and he just bought, like, a pack of gum, but he had so many rewards attached to it. And he was like, yeah, this is why I don't shop at CVS anymore.
Hmm. I mean, that's fair.
Oh yeah.
Like, I live across the street from a CVS, and I still drive to Walgreens instead.
I don't blame you.
But all right, so if you had the opportunity to speak, I guess in this situation, not necessarily to Oswald, but yeah, to, like, Ub Iwerks, what would you want to say to him, given your love of Oswald?
Honestly, it's just to talk to those guys. It would just be, it works out in the end. Like, keep doing what you guys believe and keep doing what feels right. Like, I know you lost me in your lifetime, but I came back home. It works out. Like, everything has a reason. Everything has a purpose. That all the struggles you guys went through was just with Mickey Mouse, with Minnie, with the animation studios, it was worth it in the end. Like, the work that you guys did paid off, because not only am I back in the fold, but, like, the generations you touched, the families that have these fond memories, it's worth it all.
I like that. That's perfect. Kind of for a bit of a tonal shift, but not as much as usual, though.
Okay.
Using the lessons you've learned from this story of Oswald, if you were to run into someone who's going through a difficult time in their own lives, what type of advice would you give them?
Just, like, it's going to be cliche just because of how it all is, but, like, it works out. Just everything, even in the most downest moments, in the darkest times, just getting that one spark of just, like, inspiration to make it better, it's worth it. Because it may seem like everything's down and out, everything's against you, but you gain that one spark, it's going to get better. Like, It might not be right away. It might be a few years from now, but it does get better and it does work itself out. And you just have to keep pushing and keep going. And when you feel the need to do it, just do it.
So that's good advice. All right. So then before we go, I want to give you the opportunity to plug stuff. I know you have your podcast, so I want to hear about that. But I also want to hear about something not related to you that you enjoy that you think other people might also enjoy.
Yeah, I do have another podcast. We're on hiatus at the moment, but we have a pretty good back catalog of like 218 episodes. It's called Coin Operated. We talk about like a lot of current events, nerdy stuff, things like that. Also our day-to-day lives. Like if you want to know an enhanced history of BTS, we have a couple of episodes on there. And it's just a fun episode that our fun podcast to do with my friend Cody, so that's always a cool thing that we like to do. And to plug something that people should know about. Because with Orlando's been constantly changing and it's been evolving. But I gotta go with Gideon's Bakehouse over at East End Market. They make cookies and cakes, and these are some amazing. They're quarter pound cookies and half pound cookies, and they are amazing treats. They have a cookie of the month. There's usually lines out the door where they're at, and the owners are really friendly. They're really great, and the quality of the cookies, no matter what, they're always great cookies. I can't speak highly of them. When I first found out about them, I was going there like maybe every other weekend just buying cookies. But yeah, definitely Gideon's Bakehouse.
I think that's what happens to everybody. Like, for anyone who hasn't been there, Gideon's Bakehouse will ruin cookies for you.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can't eat, like, an Oreo or a Chips Ahoy anymore. Because I'm just like, this, I've had better.
Exactly. And, like, with the Oreos, man, like, two Oreos is 140 calories. You're like, yo, I only get two Oreos. I could eat, like, a quarter of the Gideon's cookie, and it'll be so much more worth it. I won't feel guilty afterwards.
Man.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
now I want a cookie.
I know. And I'm like, crap, they're closed. I'm going to have to go tomorrow, like, at 10 a.m. when they open. I don't know their hours. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'd be lying if I hadn't, like, waited, like, driving by East End Market at, like, 9:45 and been like, it's only 15 minutes till they open and I get cookies. So, yeah, okay. I'm just gonna hang out for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's worth it because, like, you're not the only one there because the moment you get in line, 2 minutes later, there's, like, five people behind you like, oh, okay, I don't mind.
Yeah, you feel better because you're not the only one who is planning your day around buying cookies.
Yeah, and, oh, man, their cookies of the month, it's some of them are amazing. They had, like, a chocolate Java peanut butter one that I think it was, like, last month or 2 months ago that was to die for. Like, the peanut butter it wasn't overbearing. The coffee was just perfect. I was like, oh, it's too good of a cookie.
But all right, so on that note, man, I just really want cookies now.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I take it no one else has brought up cookies before.
No, shockingly, for the fact that most of my guests have lived in Orlando, no one has brought up Gideon's Bakehouse cookies before.
Okay, cool. At least I brought something original. I'm like, Gideon's Bakehouse, because I want to guess they probably brought up a few of the bars, give or take a little bit. Oh, no, Toby, no toys. Probably a few of the bars, maybe a couple of, like, the restaurants, stuff like that. I actually want to take a shot. Did anyone bring up Taco China?
No.
Oh, wow. I know Will's Pub probably got brought up a lot.
No, very few, like, local Orlando establishments have been brought up.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, like, I was kind of, like, thinking, like, oh, man, what's one I could bring up? Like, I don't think anybody else is going to bring up. I'm like, okay, Will's Pub, A lot of people probably bring that up. Okay, Gideon's. I think I'm good with Gideon's because I don't think they're gonna talk about like Tacochino or Hotto Potto or stuff like that.
Go nuts. Just let everyone know where to eat in Orlando.
Oh man, no. That's for another episode, dude. We'll be here like all day.
Yeah.
We could eat, so it's like, yeah, no, we're gonna be here for like 2 days straight just talking about food.
That's true. Look up when Alton Brown came to Orlando and he live tweeted everywhere he ate and eat at those places.
Yeah. Domu. Oh, if you're at East End Market, Domu's another good one. Anthony Zimmerman had to come back because he said Orlando had no good places to eat. And Domu kind of went like, bro, you need to eat our food. So he came back, he ate, he goes, I was wrong. Orlando now has places to eat.
People think Orlando is just chains, but if you look around a little bit, or if you are visiting and you ask a local, there's some great, great restaurants.
Yeah. If you want pizza, that's really good. Lazy Moon. I love Lazy Moon. I take everybody at Lazy Moon. That's one of the like, oh, I want pizza. We're going to Lazy Moon. Why? It's $5 pitchers, and you get a pitcher and a beer for $5. Everyone's like, what? For real? Yeah.
And a giant slice of pizza.
Yeah, it's really good pizza. And if you get it with toppings, they load the toppings on there. It's not like, oh, Domino's where they kind of put a little bit on there. No, they load it on there.
Right. But, all right, man. I think I'm going to have to sign off now. We're getting close to the time limit. Yes. Thanks again for doing this.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me on. It was really great to talk about Oswald and share the history that I've learned about him to everybody and to you and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. That was... It was a good story. It was a good way to start it.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
But all right. Have a good one, dude.
Thanks, you too. Take care.
All right. You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.